This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. In the meantime, though, we're turning our attention to COVID-19. The National Recovery Council yesterday suggested for Malaysia's borders to be fully opened by March to travelers of all countries without needing to undergo compulsory quarantine upon arrival. Now, this is still up for discussion and will need to be vetted by Cabinet, but this is what's making headlines in the news today.
And on another news, Sinovac COVID-19 vaccine recipients are now allowed to choose their preferred booster shot, although the recommendation is still Pfizer and AZ. This is because around 3.5 million Sinovac recipients had yet to receive a booster shot, most probably due to the concern of mixing vaccines.
And speaking of booster shots, right, around 1 million senior citizens have yet to take their COVID-19 booster shots. This is despite the nation witnessing consecutive days of increasing number of cases. So our Health Minister, Kari Jamaluddin, has also talked about whether Johor elections, was asked actually during this important press conference that happened on Monday, whether Johor elections will be ongoing. And I think at the moment he says yes, but please wait for those SOPs, was his final remark.
So with all these developments and with the Omicron wave upon us, what preparations need to be in place to safeguard the health of our nation? For some perspectives, we speak to Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, good morning. Always good to have you. So let's talk about the COVID-19 situation at hand. The Health Director General, Dr. Nur Hisham, said that we could expect case numbers to reach 22,000 by the end of March. What are the critical preparations needed now, in light of these recently announced plans to open borders in March?
Good morning. Certainly, the preparations that we're talking about, we've already been doing them in terms of vaccination. And this is very important for us to recognize that almost 100% of the adult population has been able to be fully vaccinated, and it is currently being worked on in terms of the booster shots that we are currently seeing happening today. So, you know, really, we are looking at using vaccinations as a way forward in terms of making sure that even though the case numbers may be very, very high, it will not mean that there will be a lot of people who are hospitalized needing to be admitted to the intensive care unit and dying. So really today, for the purposes of COVID-19, we're not so much focused on the number of daily cases, but more towards the number of people who are needing to be hospitalized for intensive care treatment and deaths.
Azrul, but at the same time, right, should we be worried by the fact that, you know, 32% of 1 million senior citizens have yet to get their booster jabs? I mean, what do you think is the reason for this reluctance, and how can we improve take-up?
Well, you know, Malaysia is in quite a privileged position compared to other countries around the world, particularly those in the global south, which are barely able to get their populations vaccinated with the primary jabs, much less offer boosters. So Malaysia is facing a similar situation with that of the United Kingdom, where uptake of boosters has, well, you know, slowed or stalled. So why is this happening here? Well, I can give you three reasons. Firstly, the waning fear of viral infection. Second is the waning trust in the government due to pandemic fatigue. And finally, the insistence of a significant proportion of the population on wanting to get the Sinovac vaccine rather than the Pfizer one as their booster or third jab.
So will this figure improve significantly now that Sinovac is part of the free booster shot program?
Well, you know, I certainly hope so. You know, the fact is the vaccination program is not free. You know, it is funded using public funds, which is our tax money. So we've already paid for this, you know. We are seeing a large number of people who appear to be reluctant to get the third jab because they feel that the primaries were enough and that there is no need to go for a booster. You know, I hope for their sake that is true. But the reality is that there is such a thing as waning immunity over time. And what we now know is that getting a booster helps renew and strengthen the protective immunity that we need to deal with Delta and the Omicron variants. So it's important that people get vaccinated. And I'm certainly hoping with a decision made by the health minister recently for the Sinovac program, Sinovac vaccine to now be available through that same booster program, that more people will get boosted.
Azrul, earlier you mentioned that one of the reasons that the booster rate is perhaps picking up very slowly is because of this waning fear of viral infections. And we are seeing this discourse coming up, yeah, the fact that the Omicron variant isn't as severe, it's okay to catch the virus, we're going to be okay. I don't know, what do you make of it? Are there pitfalls of adopting this kind of attitude?
I mean, let's not tempt fate, you know. People are saying that because it is allegedly a milder variant and contracting it provides additional immunity, why not just get it over with? Well, I can give you a few reasons. We saw within almost a single week a doubling of positive cases from 5,566 on the 1st of February to 11,034 cases on the 7th of February. And now we have even more cases as of yesterday. So, you know, unfortunately, most of those cases are in category 1 or 2, either symptomatic or with mild symptoms. But if the figures of those needing to be admitted into intensive care as category 4 or 5 reaches even 1% of those daily numbers, you know, those hospital beds are going to be filled up rather quickly and the public healthcare system will start to become strained. Less fatalities do not mean the absence of death. So secondly, for most vaccinated individuals, getting Omicron will feel like a bad cold or the flu. So many people will experience up to a week or longer of fatigue, fever, congestion, sore throat, headaches. Now, even if those symptoms aren't life-threatening, they are not something people would want. I can tell you that a lot of people who have contracted COVID will testify to this. Getting infected could also mean days off from work, school, and away from loved ones. And finally, and this is very important, is that you can still infect others. You know, there are people who are immunocompromised, who do not have the benefit of full protection with vaccination. So surely, surely you don't want to be the one infecting loved ones or friends who are vulnerable individuals.
And Azra, I want to ask you about, you know, these people who catch COVID, unfortunately, but, you know, suffer from severe symptoms. So they are in category 4 and 5. Is our healthcare system ready for, let's say, an increase in the number of these people because of the Omicron wave?
Well, you know, when you think about how much experience and what we've learned in the past 2 years and also some of the bitter and hard sacrifices that have been made. Today, Malaysia's healthcare system is in a better place compared to where we were at the height of the pandemic last year, and certainly even better compared to 2020. You know, we've got 120 hospitals, out of which 9 have been designated as COVID-19 hospitals, thousands of beds available, hundreds of COVID-19 assessment centres, and in the lead are thousands of Ministry of Health Ministry of Health healthcare personnel who are standing by. You know, with most of the adult population vaccinated, I think it's 98% now, and the effort in boosters ongoing. We are fortunate that we don't see thousands hospitalized in intensive care and hundreds of deaths. So I can say that today, with vaccinations and boosters, and with the healthcare system being what it is today, we are in a better place to respond to the spread of Omicron, certainly the 1,000 cases that will appear.
Azra, very quickly, the NRC recommends for Malaysia's borders to be fully open by March 1st without mandatory quarantine. Do you think Malaysia is ready for this?
Well, I think all the countries that make this sort of decision is going to be very nervous about it. And definitely the NRC's recommendation is going to be something that the quartet is going to be seriously considering. But if Malaysia decides to do so, it's going to be one of the first few countries in this region to fully reopen. Australia is actually one of those which is looking at similar full reopening. And this decision will only be possible due to the high coverage of vaccination in the country, you know. And this is why it's important that more people, when they are offered the booster jab, to also take advantage of that. Because as more and more people get their primaries completed and, of course, take up the boosters, then we can feel a lot more confident about reopening fully the country's borders so that, you know, when we do when people do get infected, when people who are infected come in, we don't have to instill strict home quarantines or respond to a large number of people having to be hospitalized or falling seriously ill. And most importantly is prevent the number of deaths, because at the end of the day, Malaysia has to consider that we actually had one of the highest number of fatalities and infection rates in Asia per capita. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we want to avoid when we fully reopen. So, you know, if you get offered for a booster jab, please go and do that so that we can all reopen together and be safe and confident when the borders reopen.
Azrul, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, advising one and all to take your booster jab when offered. It's, you know, lindung diri, lindung semua. I think that still very much applies.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.